the King into this house. God is here. His Spirit is here. We worship you this morning. Father, we are here for you. And we thank you, God, for your glory in this place, for your presence in this place. We worship you this morning, Father. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can clap your hands to this one. Let's just clap some hands. Thank you.
Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory
one more time.
To
we say victory belongs.
Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him. Victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to Him.
Thank you. Hallelujah. That was really good this morning. That was really good. That was really good. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Are you glad that you're in the house of the Lord this morning? You know, the psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. This is one place that we must all desire to be at. The psalmist says, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. So it's an exciting experience when we can congregate together, assemble together to worship the only true God in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We celebrate your goodness today. We thank you that you are here and that you receive our worship, you receive our adoration. We truly belong to you. Have your way in this service. Heal, deliver, set free, make whole. Birth new dreams, vision, purpose. Awaken your people. Bring us, O God, to that place of community in you, where we cleave unto you. Cleave unto you, Father. Cleave unto you. Worshiping you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for being here with us and for granting us access. Blessed be your holy name, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We'll ask her. Thank you so very much, Saints. It's very good. I'm going to ask one of God's chosen maidens, her and her husband have been with us from day one. Many have come and many have gone, but these two have been steadfast, committed. And I would like to invite Deaconess Loretta Loye to come and lead us in our prayer segment this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a privilege and what an honor to come and stand behind this pulpit. I first and foremost want to say speedy recovery to the lady of this house.
Amen.
Pastor Maria. We miss her and we all love her. And she is a gem that
Amen.
God's put in our lives. And I thank God for her every single day.
Amen.
But right now, I want you to open your Bibles before I start to pray. And go to Psalm 100. And let's read it out loud together. If you'd be so kind to put it up. Kristen would be lovely. All right, let's read this together. Make a
joyful noise unto
the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Awesome. God loves it when we worship him and sing him and sing to him in spirit and in truth. He bathes in that. He takes it in. He loves it so much. He loves to hear us sing to him. That's an important part of our Christian walk, is to praise the Lord and come before him with thanksgiving daily, not just Sunday morning. In your home, in the morning, in the afternoon, at bedtime. Think about that. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. He that has made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What an awesome place to be his people and to the sheep Hallelujah.
Amen.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's what the word of God says. Come before the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. Again, he loves it. So that's part of our job, is to praise the Lord, for he is good. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I would like us to stand up and let us pray. Those who have tongues, know how to pray in tongues, let's pray in tongues. And then I'll go into the prayer. All right? Lift up your voices. I want to hear you. Like Pastor Maria has stood up here. You know, we can't hear. So I ask you all, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 No foe can stand against the children of God. He has promised that. I just want to praise him again. I pray tongues every day. Download. God downloads into our spirit when we pray in tongues. He really does. I pray in the Spirit, and he speaks. And that's how we should be, so we can walk in the Spirit. We don't walk in the carnality of our minds, of the five senses. We walk in the Spirit of what the Word of God says. So let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this is a day that you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in it. And we worship you, Father God Almighty. We come before your throne, and we worship you. We thank you, Father God Almighty. Inhabit our praises today. Oh, Almighty God, I praise you, and I thank you that you are mindful of each and every one of us. You are mindful because we are made in your image and your likeness, and you care about every detail of our lives, and you are in control. And I thank you for that, Almighty God. Thank you that you take control of each and every one of our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here and you brood upon each and every soul that comes in here. Brood upon every seat. Speak to every heart, Almighty God, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you. Thank you for changed hearts, changed minds, changed lives, Almighty God. That is your desire, and I thank you. It becomes our desire. And I just want to thank you for the nations that you created, every nation. And I just want to lift up Israel to you. Jerusalem, we pray for your peace. You have said to us, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They are your chosen. We pray for that peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the same thing for Canada, Nigeria, the United States of America, and for England. Father God Almighty, be their peace. Let righteousness reign in these nations, Almighty God, so that prosperity will rise up in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for all the families represented here, each and every one of them. They belong to you, Almighty God. And I thank you, Father God, that your hand is upon them. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus speaks better things. The blood of Jesus is on every family represented here. Glory and peace and all those that know you in spirit and truth. Thank you, Father God Almighty. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to thank you, Father, that your angels are all around here. Every one of us, the angels are here ministering to our hearts, taking us to a higher level in you, Father God Almighty. Thank you. I praise you. I worship you. I honor you. And I thank you for the governments of the countries that we're praying for, every level of government, let righteousness reign in these government heads, Almighty God. And as we prayed before, let the righteous reign, and those that are not choosing to be righteous. Remove them, Father God Almighty. Remove them so that we have peace in our land. I thank you, Father God Almighty. I just thank you for the chief of police, the mayor, the premier, as she makes these decisions regarding people. I thank you for her life. I thank you for the prime minister and the decisions he has to make and those that walk with him. Father, let their hearts be focused on you. Holy Spirit, speak to them as they make decisions, that they make righteous decisions concerning your people. I just want to thank you. I thank you that you are God. You are the I am that I am. And there is no other. There is no other. You show up and you say, ask who I am. You say, I am the I am, and there is no one beside me. And I want to thank you that we anchor our hope, we anchor our faith, we anchor our belief in the great I am. Thank you, Father God. I praise you. I worship you again. Hallelujah. Glory to your holy name. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Father. Take all the glory. Thank you. Take all the glory. Take all the glory, Father God Almighty. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. And I forgot anybody. God knows who you are. All the families represented here. I thank you. God knows who you are. God knows where you live. God knows what you're doing. I just ask he bless you in everything you undertake. Everything good. I thank you right now. And I give you glory. And I ask now that your word come forth with power. Power. Holy Ghost power. To cause us to rise up to a higher level in you, a better understanding in you. I thank you. I thank you, Father God, for all your spirits that are here. Hallelujah. And I want to thank you now for our pastors. The pastors are called. They've never went to the left or the right. They stayed straight with you. What an honor to be under their umbrella. What an honor. I thank you, Father. I thank you. Again, I thank you, and I call Pastor Zeno up now. Pastor Mike F.A. Zeno, our pastor and leader. God bless him, and as he brings the word, let us receive it deep in our spirits. And take it home and chew on it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Bless all the children.
Thank you so very much. Praise the Lord. It's powerful. We've been on a journey with God. And we've embarked on this journey with expectations. The Word of God tells us that our hope will not be disappointed. We've been talking about partnership. The Word of God says, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? And if we want to walk with God, it must be because we are in agreement with Him. We must be in agreement with God. Yes, God comes into agreement. Excuse me. God comes into agreement with us. Oh. But the greater agreement is us with Him. Why? Because He is Lord. He is sovereign. He is all-knowing. He sees everything, knows everything, understands everything. There is no new information when it comes to God. Everything is bare before Him. And so when we talk about agreement, partnering with God, we're talking about partnering with one who knows everything, understands everything, and will do the right thing by us. Amen? So, partnering with God is an act of humility. And the Word of God says that God elevates the humble. Then it must mean then that partnering with God is positioning yourself to be elevated. That makes sense? To not partner with God means that you are proud and arrogant. And God says He goes against the proud. If you want God to be against you, don't partner with Him. This makes sense to me. Does it make sense to you? It's just plain truth. God will resist the proud, but will exalt the humble. And this morning, I want to reflect on two lives. If you may, come with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 4 through 6. It says here, "And Aram begat Aminadab, and Aminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab." And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, who is the father of King David. In that passage of scripture I just read to you, it says Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, or Rahab. Who is this Rahab? Rahab is a prostitute. Rahab is a prostitute that lived on the walls of Jericho. And when Joshua sent spies to spy out the land, Rahab took in the spies and hid them. Hid them. The king comes asking for these individuals in Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Beginning to read from verse 1. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. Keep my water close by me. They've been come, they're out there searching. I want you to release them to me. But what does she do? She hid them and said, they're not here. They're not here. What did she just do? She partnered with God and his people. To cut a long story short, when the walls of Jericho collapsed, watch this. The Bible says the walls of Jericho collapsed. Do you know there was one spot that did not collapse? The house of the partner. Partners don't get to fall apart like everybody else. Things may fall to the right and to the left, but the home of a partner, one who's partnered with God and his people, will stand solid. Her house did not fall. When these spies were leaving, they told her, stay in your house. Don't get out of it. And put a scarlet thread out your window. And because she did so, her father, her mother, her cousins, her nephews, everybody in her household got saved, got delivered. This is the power of partnership. Hallelujah. But it gets better. She now gets married. She gets married to, back to Matthew 1 and verse 5. It says, Matthew 1 and verse 5, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab. She became the wife of Solomon. And they have a son called Boaz. This was the setup. This was, somebody says setup. You see, because when you have partnership, partnership builds level upon level. What she started, the prostitute started, brought her into relationship with Solomon, and Solomon gave birth to Boaz, but this was a setup. Because another woman called Ruth is going to tap on this particular level. Who's Ruth? Ruth is a Moabitess. She is not an Israelite. The Bible tells us in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, house of bread, praise, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons, they left. They went to Moab. Remember what we said at the very beginning. God knows everything. God knows everything. He sees everything. He understands everything. And nothing is out of God's view. So why this man went, the Bible says his name was Elimelech. Elimelech, which means my God is king. God is king. And the name of his wife was Naomi. Naomi simply means delight, delightful. And then it says, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. So you have a man here with an excellent name. God is king. The wife's name is delightful. And they give their name, the names of their children, Mahlon and Chilion. What's Mahlon? Means sick. Sick. Chilion means one who is pining, has mental issues. That's the name that these people gave to their children. And the Bible says they were Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. Ephratite, that means, remember we've talked about words that have two meanings. Ephratite means fruitfulness or archiness, arches, burnt up or fruitful. Now, when you see a situation like that, you know that choices have to be made. You're going to have to choose whether you're going to choose fruitfulness or burnt up ashes. They came to the country of Moab and they continued there, and they were there for about 10 years. And while they were there, Elimelech died. And she was left with her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they took wives of the women of Moab. One was called Orpah, and the other one was called Ruth. Ruth means friendship. Orpah is just a gazelle, all neck. And they dwelt there for about 10 years. And Melon and Chilion died also, both of them. Of course. When you have the name like sick, mental issues, you're going to die. They died. And Naomi was left with her two daughter-in-laws. And she decides, you know what? I'm going back. I'm going back home. I heard things have changed back home in Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going to go back home. And so she's heading back. And she says to her two daughter-in-laws, please, stay here. Go back to your parents. Remarry. Because there's nothing I can do for you. And Orpah and Ruth began weeping. In verse 8, he says, Naomi says, go, return to your mother's house. The Lord will deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. You've been wonderful ladies. I couldn't have asked for better for my family. But things have been rough. And it's time for you to go. The girls start weeping. No, we won't go, we won't go, we won't go. Okay. She insisted, and as she insisted, this is what we read in verse 14. It says, they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clave unto her. There is the kiss and there is the cleaving. In our relationship with God, those are the two things that happen. There are people in the house of God that have the Judas kiss. And there are those that are cleavers. They cleave. They won't let go. It's remarkable what the Word of God says about Orpah. The Bible says that Ruth, or Naomi rather, says to Ruth, your sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, watch this, and unto her gods. She's gone back to her people and unto her gods. She's left. Go after her. No. I'm not going. Why don't you want to go, Ruth? Because I have nothing there. I'm here. And please stop asking me to leave. You see, this is the same thing that Elijah and Elisha did. Elijah says to Elisha in Gilgal, says, stay here. Elisha says, no. The They come to Bethel. And Elijah says to Elisha, stay here. It's fine here. Nope. And then they come to Jericho. And Elijah says to him, there's prophets here. You can hang around these people. And these prophets were telling Elisha, you know your boss is going to die today, right? We're the new thing. Well, we've got all the systems, and this guy is passé, and he's going to die. And Elisha says, I could care less about that. Why? He understood the key of cleaving. He cleaved to Elisha. And that was fundamental in him being able to have the double portion. See, because when you are in partnership, there is elevation. Praise the Lord. So here is Ruth. She said, please don't be asking me to leave, because I'm not. And she makes a remarkable statement in verse 16. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Stop asking me to do that. For whither thou goest, I will go. I'm a cleaver. You go over here, I'm coming. And where you lodge, I will lodge there. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. Wait a minute. What about Naomi's God has captivated her heart? Her husband died. Her two children dead. So what is so exciting about Naomi's God? You see, it was not as much Naomi's God as much as it was her love for Naomi. Her love for Naomi that caused her to serve her said, I don't care. I don't care whether your God is good to you or not good to you. I love you. I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to partner with you. And stop telling me to do otherwise. People must fall in love with us to fall in love with God. It is asking too much of somebody who has not known God to say, love God. They don't know how to love God. They will learn how to love God. But for right now, the person that they are connected to It's you. Amen? And if your love for God pulls you, it will pull them. So yes, Ruth, committed, following through, and saying, your people are going to be my people, and your God is going to be my God. And so they go home, and when they get back to Bethlehem, Judah, the people, the whole town celebrating her. Says, this not Naomi? And Naomi says, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. What does Mara mean? Mara means bitterness. My life has been a bitter one. Don't call me delightful. It's incredible. How? Because of Ruth. One who is partnering Naomi's life is going to be changed. Because I really don't see anything about Naomi that qualifies her. But the passion of Ruth is turning the story around. Point. Your partnership can turn a sour life around just because of you. Life had beaten Naomi down. Beating her over and over and over and over. Anyway, she finds a place. And one day, Bible says, Naomi says to Ruth, go out to the field and glean in the field and bring us some stuff, because it was the beginning of the barley harvest. So she goes out there. And she starts gleaning at the edges. And there's this young man, Boaz, who is working. He's a wealthy man. I won't be able to tell you the whole story tonight or this morning. But the fact is, Ruth gets connected to Boaz, who is the son of Rahab. Are you with me? Partnership brought her to another level. And because of that, they have a son that's going to end up becoming king, a grandson. Do you know what happened to Orpah? Who disengaged Opa tradition says, rabbinical tradition says, got married to a guy called Hermes. Hermes and her produced four giants. And one of those four giants is Goliath. So, roots family is going to now contend with Opa's family. It didn't look like Ruth's family, right through to Obed and to Jesse and whatever else, David. They were not giants. Opas look like this gigantic four. You see, when people many times disengage, they create a false strength. But true partnership, God elevates the humble. And every giant falls before. Amen. David and his men who became partners with him, they were all, it seemed like, losers. They were all broke, defeated, but they had a love for David. And they teamed up with David. And as they teamed up with David, this bunch of losers rose up in their ranks and became men of great reputation. And David's men started taking out the giants. They were still small. But the power of partnership says that you will be able to dismantle whatever it is that stands in the way. Amen? You will dismantle the activities of the enemy and see the exalted name of the risen Lord. Today I want to challenge every one of us. To consider this powerful calling, God calling you and I to partner with Him. It may not look like much. Goliath says, who's this red-faced, acne-faced kid coming here? I will kill you and feed your body to the birds. But here is David. He doesn't slouch. The Bible says he takes off running towards Goliath. Saul had offered him his armor, but it didn't fit. What fit was the anointing of God on his life. When David got anointed, lions died. Bears died. A little man, small in stature, for doing mega things. I believe that that's what God is going to use us to do. Hallelujah. When I think about partnership, I think about what God has been using us to accomplish as a church. Not because we have a large mega congregation, but in spite of it. In spite of it. Because it takes the anointing to destroy yokes and to remove burdens. And today, I want you and I to embrace partnering with God, what that means. Ruth is going to get married to Boaz. Rahab gets married to Salmon. And they give birth to Boaz. And yes, Ruth getting married to her Boaz. And in one swift moment, this woman that was broke, had nothing, is now overnight. The field that she was gleaning from, she now owned. That's elevation. I say to you today that the field that you have been gleaning in, the story will change. Hallelujah. Some of us that are listening right now, you're working for somebody, but it won't be long now. You're going to own that business. Not because you have been covetous of it, but because the power of partnership allows God to bless you in extraordinary ways. Hear me. God will elevate God will promote, but the principle is this: partner. When you partner with God, God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out the blessing, and that you will not have room enough to handle. We partner with God with our tithes and our offering. When you say, God, I'm bringing my tithe, I'm bringing my offerings, I honor you with my body, I honor you with the giftings and abilities that you've granted to me, I acknowledge that without you, I can do nothing, but by your grace, I stand this day knowing, O God, your favor. When you position yourself in total surrender to God, God elevates you. There is no limit to what God will do. You and I must take the limits off of God. Let me say that again. We must take the limits off of God. Your partnership connects you.
What are you looking for in God? What do you want? Could it be as simple as this? You partnering with God? A woman called Hannah learned that powerful principle. Hannah comes to the temple. Bible says that God had shut her womb. Doesn't sound good, God shutting your womb. But she still went. She still went to Shiloh. She went year after year. Crying out to God. She's been humiliated by Peninnah. Hannah, Grace, she doesn't have a child. But she was observant because she comes to Shiloh and she sees that Eli has two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni is a boxer. You don't do the right thing, pow, knocks you out. Phinehas, serpent tongue, serpent mouth. Two individuals. And what are they doing? They reckon the things of God. They are abusing the people of God, abusing the finances, the sacrifices. They take the best and dump the rest. And Hannah sees this. She comes to God. And she says, God, if you give me a child, you'll get the prophet that you need to continue your purpose. You have something that must not die with Eli. Give me a child. Let's partner in this. Give me a child, I give you a prophet. God says, that's good. Partnership caused God to unlock her womb. The same God who shut her womb opened it up. Because partnership brings you to a place of open doors. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's not just praying. Sometimes it is more than just praying. It is understanding the principle of partnership. Jesus partnered with Peter when he had fished all night and caught nothing. In Luke 5, caught nothing. But he partnered with him, ministered the word, and then he said, now that we've finished ministering the word, launch out into the deep. And the guy said, what are you talking about? Cast your nets. But Peter cast one net. He did not understand that when you partner with God, your whole story changes. And when God says to you and I want to partner with you, he's trying to change the story of your life and my life. If you have a camera, take your picture. You know how to do selfies, right? Take your picture right now. Because right now, your story changes. I was not jiving when I said, take your picture. Take note of that picture, because that's the poorest you're going to ever be. That's the worst picture. From here on, from this moment on, everything changes, because you made the decision to partner with God. Now, when you've partnered with God, when you've partnered with a man for God's greater purposes, and things are not going right, you have the right to come to God and say, I demand the grace of partnership. I declare it activated in my life. I cannot be like this. This is not my story. You've heard me tell this story many times before. When you receive a prophetic declaration here, it is not meant to be just something that is said, just one of those things. But it must be activated. God wants you blessed. Amen? And the factor, the undeniable factor, is partnership. Peter caught so much fish. Do you want to know the rest of the story? After he caught all that fish, he left it. And he connected with Jesus. All he was working for was fish. And now Jesus says to him, I'll make you fishers of men. I turn your story around. I give you a new start. He left everything. And so did his partners, James and John. Are you ready for this? When you are partners, you are inseparable. Even the Lord could not separate these three. They were koinonia, fellowshipping partners. So when Jesus was going to reveal himself, his true self, he revealed it to partners. In Mark 9, he goes up the mountain and he takes with him Peter, James, and John. And he reveals his true self. He was transfigured before them, because that's what God does with partners. He reveals himself. In John 14, he says, as you walk with me in love, I and the Father will come and make our abode with you and reveal, manifest ourselves to you. When God calls us to partnership, he is calling us to a place where he freely can reveal himself. If there's one thing we need, is the manifestation of who he is, being changed from glory to glory to glory. You say, how can I be a partner with the Lord? Most everything in the kingdom starts with a confession. It's you just simply saying, God, I want to be your partner. Help me to be a good, faithful partner. Because that's all Jesus is going to come back for. He's coming back for his partners. True? He's coming back for his partners. So you and I need to be truly partners that love him. And as partners, we need to cause men to love the God that we love. See, God has been good in your life. I want to be part of what you are part of. Amen? Well, I'm going to stop here. I want you to rise with me. I want you to talk to God in your own language, with your own words. Just let him know you want to be his partner. You want to walk with him. Talk to him. Just talk to him. Let him know that you're making that decision. Unfortunately, there's so many people who have not learned this powerful principle of partnership and are doomed to a life of struggle. When you partner with God, he opens doors of opportunity and he graces you and connects you with people that will help you. He'll speak to you about what to do. He'll make things happen in a glorious way. Talk to him. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, how strong you are, or how weak you are. The reality is this. God says he will take the weight off of you. He will do all the work, but you get to enjoy benefits by being part of his family. Father, help us, oh God, to be partners. Help this congregation, this body of Christ, understand the power of partnership. Let there be a turnaround for every life, for every son and every daughter right now. As they step into this week, let them step, oh God, into the realm of supernatural elevation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. All is well with your people. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Tonight is going to be a different night. I like when God puts things together. Every speaker we've had had been handpicked by God. And I've been truly blessed by their ministry. Praise the Lord. It's just been an extraordinary time. A good number of the ones that the Lord gave to us this time around are not the mega names, but partners. Partners. In partnership, graces. And tonight, I'm going to have a panel. And it's going to be an extraordinary one. We're going to learn some things tonight as we just talk about partnering in partnership and the principles that operate in partnership. Anyway, it's going to be an extraordinary evening, and so shall this entire week that we're starting. It's just going to be a download. Wow. This is going to be an extraordinary week. This is one of those weeks that you are going to remember. And I give God praise for that. But at this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. When it comes to the time of giving, this is where you demonstrate that you're a partner with God. You don't give out of necessity. You just give because you love God and you trust God and you believe Him to work out details. God knows where your job is. God knows where that business that you need to be involved with is and what it is and how you should do it. There's not a detail about your life that is hidden from God. So go to Him as your partner. Because you can go to God as your partner because you know He can trust you. God, you can trust me to be faithful, to be faithful. Trust Him. And He's going to reveal Himself in amazing ways. Amen? So as we share in communion in just a moment from now, I want you to be able to say, God, grant me the grace of your love to trust me to do the right thing by you. Work with me until everything about me reveals your glory. Use my life. Will you let Him do that? Praise God. Let the information for giving be on the screen. If it is not, I shouldn't have to mention that. Once we start talking about giving, the information should be on the screen right away. Father, we're partnering with you in our giving right now. Bless that which we have sown. Multiply the seed sown. And Lord, oh God, enhance our ability to give even more. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, take of this body and of the cup. Father, thank you for your body, the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who in obedience gave his life for our redemption. You trusted him. Lord, may we prove as your partners to be trustworthy. We take of this body and we eat. In Jesus' mighty name, take and eat. This is a cup of blessing. God has made a commitment to bless us as we take of this body and take of this cup. And as his partners, his blessings flow powerfully in our lives. Take off this cup and drink. Heavenly Father, touch every son and every daughter in this house today with your healing graces, with divine prosperity, with increase. Oh, Father, rewrite the story of the lives of your people. May we look back at this day and say, this is the day that everything changed in my life. This is the day you connected me with that person. This is the day that you opened this door for me. Father, in Jesus' name, let it be an elevation. Because our trust is in you. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, those of you on Facebook and YouTube, we'll release you at this time. And we look forward to seeing you tonight. But in the interim, let me say hello to